Chris Murray.
Yeah.
Where is this way going?
Anything else? Okay, let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and just thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Your mercies that are new every morning. That you shed abroad upon all mankind, both righteous and unrighteous. Thank you for that, Father. We pray for those that are seeking, wherever they may be, around the world, seeking for you, and just ask that you would keep striving and have courage to keep on seeking. Father, we just pray for brethren that have left us and given up the fight. They might have another chance to turn back to the past and follow your will, Father. We pray for young brethren, wherever they may be, and especially for Josue. We pray for Marcus and the family as they travel and as they speak your word, Father. Just guide us today and help us to speak to you. Pray in Jesus' name. We are ready to start the book of Esther. Do any of you recall what Brother Steve was stressing to you last week in your lesson last week in the last chapter of Nehemiah? Yes?
Nehemiah came back and came with the
women in the That's right. They had been intermarrying with women from other countries, other cultures that they had been forbidden to. But another point on that Steve was stressing and has before already to you on that very subject. What did they do with those women then? What did Nehemiah counsel them to do with the women that they had married that they shouldn't have? Yes?
Divorce.
Right. Anyway, I'm going to be reading out of the Septuagint, so there's going to be quite a few verses here that you will not have in your Bibles if you're trying to follow. But then later, I'll tell you when we get there, when it starts in yours if you want to follow. Let's read. In the second year of the reign of Artaxerxes, the great king, on the first day of Nisan, Mordecai, the son of Jairus, the son of Semaias, the son of Cesus, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Jew, dwelling in the city Susa, a great man, serving in the king's palace, he saw a vision. Now he was of the captivity which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried captive from Jerusalem with Jeconias, the king of Judea. And this was his dream. Behold, voices. Now listen to this dream. You don't have it in your Bibles, but this is a vision that Mordecai has had. This was his dream. Behold, voices and a noise, thunders and earthquake, tumult upon the earth. Things were just a lot of things happening, confusion. And behold, two great serpents came forth, both ready for conflict, and there came from them a great voice. And by their voice every nation was prepared for battle, even to fight against the nation of the just. Because of this, the voice that came from the two great serpents, every nation was prepared for battle, the battle even to fight against the nation of the just. And behold, a day of darkness and blackness, tribulation and anguish, affliction and great tumult upon the earth. And all the righteous nation was troubled, fearing their own afflictions, and they prepared to die, and cried to God. And from their cry, there came, as it were, a great river from a little fountain. Just a little fountain, like a drinking fountain, or they probably didn't have drinking fountains then. But anyway, some little fountain, there came a great river. Even much water, and light, and the sun arose, and the lowly were exalted, and devoured the honorable. And Mordecai, who had seen this vision, and what God designed to do, having awoke, he kept it in his heart, and desired by all means to interpret it, even until night. So he had this dream, and he was trying to understand what it meant. Trying to interpret it was probably pretty vivid in his mind, and he was just wondering, now, what could that mean? And Mordecai rested quiet in the palace with Gabatha and Farha, the king's two chamberlains, eunuchs who guarded the palace, and he heard their reasoning. They were talking amongst themselves. And he searched out their plan. He heard them talking about something, and he just searched it out, seeing what they were planning to do. Searched out their plan, and learned that they were preparing to lay hands on King Artaxerxes, and he informed the king concerning them. And the king examined the two chamberlains, and they confessed and were executed. I have a note here in the Septuagint that says, literally means led away, or executed. Anyway, they were removed somehow. And the king wrote these things for a memorial somewhere in his journals. Also, Mordecai wrote concerning these matters, and the king commanded Mordecai to attend in the palace, and gave him gifts for this service. And Aman, the son of Amadathes, the Bugian, was honorable in the sight of the king, and he endeavored to hurt Mordecai and his people because of the two chamberlains of the king. So he must have been a friend of these two chamberlains that were planning. To lay hands on the king. But he must have been a friend, but when their plot was discovered, he had a grudge against Mordecai because of it. Now, it'll start in your Bibles, if you want to follow along. So that was the vision and some things. So just remember that as we read through the book of Esther. And it came to pass after these things, in the days of Artaxerxes, this Artaxerxes ruled over 127 provinces from India. In those days, when King Artaxerxes was on the throne in the city of Susa in the third year of his reign, he made a feast to his friends and the other nations, and to the nobles of the Persians and Medes, and the chief of the satraps. And after this, after he had shown to them the wealth of his kingdom and the abundant glory of his wealth, everything that he had, all the riches. During 180 days. And here's a note that's not in your Bible, and I don't proclaim to understand it all, but it says something about, okay, when I say the days of the marriage feast were completed, so, I don't know. Was it just their marriage? We gotta almost read between the lines, or use some assuming here, and it really doesn't matter that much, one way or the other. And after this, after he had shown to them the wealth of, when I say the days of the marriage feast were completed, the king made a banquet to the nations who were present in the city 6 days in the court of the king's house, which was adorned with hangings of fine linen and black on swords of fine linen and purple, fastened to golden and silver studs. On pillars of Parian marble and stone, there were golden and silver couches on a pavement of emerald stone and of pearl and of Parian stone and open work coverings variously flowered. Heavy roses worked round about, gold and silver cups, and a small cup of carbuncle set out of the value of 30,000 talents, abundant and sweet wine, which the king himself drank. And this banquet was not according to the appointed law, but so the king would have it, and he charged the stewards to perform his will and that of the company. Also Aspen, the queen, made a banquet for the women in the palace where King Artaxerxes dwelt. So the queen also made a banquet for the women at the same time the king was having his big party. Now on the seventh day, the king, being married, told Aman and Basin and Farah and Barzai and Sephotha and Abbatsa and Saraba, the seven chamberlains, servants of King Artaxerxes, to bring in the queen to him to enthrone her and crown her with the diadem and to shew her to the princes and her beauty to the nations. For she was beautiful. But Queen Aspen hearkened not to him to come with the chamberlain. She didn't listen to him. So the king was grieved and he was angered because here he had this great company and he ordered his chamberlains to go and bring the queen so that he could crown her with the diadem and to show her because she was beautiful. But she didn't listen. And he was grieved and angered and he said to his friends, thus has Aspen spoken, pronounce therefore upon this case law and judgment. So, Artaxerxes and Sarthathus and Malazir, the princes of the Persians and Medes, who were near the king, who sat chief in rank by the king, they drew near to him, and reported to him according to the law how it was proper to do to Queen Aspen under the circumstances. Because she had not done the things commanded of the king by the chamberlain. That was according to their laws that they had. That made me think of, okay, that was some of their laws. They were looking at the laws that they had and what the queen had done. She had not listened to the king. They were looking to see what the law would say or what they should do to her. It made me think of, like, even in this land, in the past, women could actually be put in jail if they weren't dressed properly, according to the law and word. And most of the women out there today, especially when it's real warm, would be put in jail according to the laws that had been in the past, even in this country. But anyway. And Nuka said to the king and to the princes, "Queen Ashton has not wronged the king only, but also all the king's rulers and princes." And then he says, why? "For he has told them the words of the queen and how she disobeyed him." So he's saying, everybody saw what happened. You're the king. Everybody saw what the queen did. She refused to obey you. "As then," said he, "she refused to obey King Artaxerxes, so this day shall the other ladies of the chiefs of the Persians and Medes, having heard what she said to the king, dare in the same way to dishonor their husbands." Just telling him, everybody saw this, because you're the king and the queen. And if the other ladies see what she did, they'll think, okay, if the queen can do that, we can do that too. We can just choose when we're going to obey our husbands. "And then," said he, "she refused to obey the king. So this day shall the other ladies of the chiefs of the Persians and the Medes, having heard what she said to the king, dare in the same way to dishonor their husbands. If then it seems good to the king, let him make a royal decree, and let it be written according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, and let him not alter it or change it. Let not the queen come into him anymore. And let the king give her royalty to a woman better than she." So basically saying, make another queen. Which isn't right according to Jesus' principles and the new covenant. "Let the law of the king, which he shall have made, be widely proclaimed in his kingdom, and so shall all the women then give honor to their husbands, from the poor even to the rich." So all of the ladies in the kingdom, they'll see what the consequences was of not obeying the queen, not obeying the king or her husband, and so they'll fear and they'll honor their husbands. "And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did as Mucus had said, and he sent into all his kingdom through the several provinces according to their language, in order that men might be feared in their own homes, and that all the women would honor their own husbands." And I won't explain. I mean, I don't have a lot of extra explanations here for you other than that. Did you memorize your psalm you were to memorize? No, some did.
What's the Bible verse you're
supposed to memorize?
Psalm,
yeah.
Chapter 1.
Shall not fall off, and so shall
let you pick two of them and half. One say it once, and one say it again.
Okay, Philip, you want to go ahead?
Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the evil man. But his pleasure is in the law of the Lord, and in that law will he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the brooks of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not fall off.
And whatsoever
he doeth shall be prospered. Not so that I am godly, not so.
But rather
as the scribe,
as the chaff,
which the wind gathers from the face of the earth.
Therefore the ungodly
shall not rise in the judgment.
Blessed is the man that who has not walked in the counsel of the ungodly, and has not stood in the way of sinners, and has not sat in the seat of evil men. But for his pleasure is the law of the Lord, and in his law he shall meditate day and night, and he shall be as a tree planted by the brooks of water, which shall yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf shall will not fall off. But whatsoever he shall do,
shall be
prosper. Therefore.
Not so the ungodly
shall not stand in the
But rather as the chaff.
As the chaff which the wind drives and to the face of the earth.
Therefore,
ungodly are not.
Oh. before the ungodly God, it shall not rise in judgment.
For the ungodly shall not rise in judgment.
Nor sinners in the conflict of judgment. Let's just say it all together and I'll help you. For next week, just keep it here. Okay. Get that thing down where you can, every one of you could be the leader here. Instead of hoping someone else knows it well enough that I can just follow it. Okay? Keep on practicing. Okay, you're dismissed.